Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of The Roman Show. It's October 23rd, and we have a stacked lineup for you. We have three fighters that will be competing this Saturday at the World Series of Fighting 6 at the Bank United Center in Coral Gables. We have both main eventers, Josh Berkman and Steve Carl, who will both compete for the first ever World Series of Fighting welterweight title. Plus, we hear from Miguel Torres, the MMA veteran, makes his return to the cage. He tells us why he was away from fighting and how he plans to bounce back to victory. Also, Stephanie Skinner, who fights at XFC 27 in December, joins us to talk about her upcoming fight. Plus, we take a look back at UFC 166. Throughout the night, we will be giving away free tickets to the MMA show this Saturday, World Series of Fighting number 6. All you have to do is follow us on Twitter at RomanDH or at The Roman Show and subscribe to our YouTube account, which is youtube.com/rroman0201. Like the fan page, facebook.com/RomanShowMedia. Let The Roman Show begin.
Step down to the get down.
All right, whenever you're ready. You're ready.
5 seconds to the open.
Aquarius, watch that little gimbal.
We don't want you coming off in the bank.
Booster. Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
Go. Five.
Guidance.
Surgeon.
Go. Light.
Go.
We're go. Light.
GNC.
We're go.
Down here. Go.
Control.
Go.
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 FAO.
We are go.
Network.
Go.
Recovery.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go. Fly.
Launch control. This is Houston. We are go for launch.
The Roman Show.
With your host, Rodolfo Roman.
All right, and we are back on The Roman Show. Josh Berkman, Steve Paul, Miguel Torres, Stephanie Skinner, all tonight on the show. Plus, we have a whole lot of news to catch up. If you're tuning in for the first time, thank you very much for tuning in. And I am sure you guys want tickets to the big show this Saturday. Again, it's very simple. What you have to do, subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/rroman0201. Very simple. Doesn't take too much. Also, I'm going to give a shout out here to Simply J Videos. Simply J Videos, if you need to put your product out there, but no one really seems to know about it. Well, these guys go out there, they go to your business, they film it, and they edit a nice, great commercial for you so you can air on your YouTube account or website, whatever it may be. The whole point is these guys get the word out there for you at a reasonable price. If you need this ASAP, which I personally think you should, then head on over to simplyjvideos.com. And trust me, when these guys get together, their brains just come up with this incredible commercial. And trust you me, they do a wonderful job. That's simplyjvideos.com, which is an Ask Pro company. We'll be right back with none other than Miguel Torres, who fights this Saturday. What has he been up to? Why haven't we seen or heard from this guy? The last time we heard from him was the whole Twitter beef. He did go to jail for paraphernalia, but what kept them away from the cage?
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue. Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to The Roman Show. This Saturday, October 26th, on NBC Sports, you will be able to see World Series of Fighting, number 6, taking place at the Bank United Center. And The Roman Show is giving you an opportunity of going to the show for free. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, that's RRoman0201, or follow us on Twitter at RomanDH and like our fan page, Roman Show Media. And on the line, we have one of the participants that will be fighting on that night, and that's Miguel Angel Torres on the line, who will be fighting Pablo Alfonso that same night. Miguel, thanks so very much for joining us.
No worries, brother. Happy to be here with you guys.
Awesome, Miguel. Well, let's talk about this fight, Miguel. It's been some time since we last saw you in action in the cage, close to a year now. First and foremost, how are you doing, man, as far as training and conditioning and mentally for this fight?
Everything's great, man. I've been training nonstop the past 9 months. Just been real busy working on my gym and spending time with my family. You know, I have a big gym here in Griffith, Indiana, and I moved my gym from Hammond, Indiana, so all I've been doing is basically working on the gym and getting my students ready for tournaments, competitions, and just training. You know, I haven't been taking time off because I wanted to, it's because I have to. You know, I can make money and make a career as a fighter, but at the same time, I'm a businessman. I have a gym, and I'm looking to move my location and offer more classes to my students, and I've been able to do that. At the same time, maintain my physical conditioning and training. And now, you know, everything is settled down. I'm ready to get back into the cage and get back and take the first win mine and take my world title back.
So you've been really focused on more on the business aspect of your life right now and during that time off.
Well, 100%, you know, because, you know, when I've been fighting since I've been 17 years old. And, you know, now I'm 32, and I'm not an old man by any means, but I've been in the game for a very long time. And, you know, you can't fight forever. And everyone has to have, I guess, strategy, but a plan for the future. And, you know, like I said, I have my daughter, and I have to think about her. And at the same time, you know, I have small nagging injuries. And every now and then, you got to take a little time off and make sure when you come back 100%. And that's what I want to do. You know, I want to make sure my mind was clear, make sure I still love the sport. And, you know, just make sure that when I come back mentally focused and mentally ready. And, you know, I've had time to do that. You know, and being with my kids so long and just training and just staying hungry. You know, some people thought I was just taking time off because I wanted to retire, but that's the exact opposite. You know, I've been focusing on other aspects of my life, and now that I've been out of the kitchen so long, now I'm 100%, you know, hungry and ready to get back in there and take good mind.
Well, in your career, this hasn't been the long, probably been the longest that you've been out of the cage in action, but it's not the first time that you've faced back-to-back losses and you took some time off. As we go back when you started to the loss to Brian, but how different is it this time around compared to the last time when you had back-to-back losses and coming back?
Oh, it's different because my last loss, you know, I think I lost that fight. You know, I fought that fight against Marlon, and me and Marlon stayed together for at least, you know, 6-7 months. I've been training with the Black Zans and with Price Star Gym in Montreal. But every time I trained with the Black Zans, I've actually trained with Marlon. So coming into that fight, he knew I was dangerous from the ground, and I knew he was dangerous standing up. But at the same time, you know, I know he gets tired after the first round. I think if by the first round, I let him get tired and blow his wad, and he's going to come back full on and second and third round. And, you know, with that last kick, and he's at the last minute, you know, I didn't think he was very effective. He didn't do anything. He was just trying to steal around. And, you know, the split decision that I lost, I don't think I lost the fight. I thought he just tried to skate away with a small, you know, small takedown, and some of the digits hit that way. I don't feel like I lost that fight, but everybody has their opinion, and that was my fault for letting go to the judges. And the next time, you know, I fight him in the future, it's not going to go that way.
Now, you see, so you have been training a little bit in the Black Zillions, because I know you travel around pretty much with the training, but are you focused more on Indiana training over there?
Well, yeah, you know, I've trained in Spencer for the past 3 years, so my training camp, I spent there. I spent time with the Black Zillions, with the manager, Ben Robinson, all those guys. And both camps are extremely good camps, but you know, I have to stay back and focus on my gym and my students and my business. And, you know, I have a great group of guys, a very tough group of guys that they've been prepared for all my fights in the past. And, you know, it's time for me to come back home and put time into my business and to my students and get back to what I was good at. And that's putting pressure on guys and breaking them. That's what I've been focusing on.
And now in the gym out there, you've been training with anyone specifically? Because I know at one point you consider yourself like a self-coach, and then after those two losses you had, you went ahead and found some personal coaches to train you.
Well, yeah, I've been training with Faraz Zahabi in the past, and after I started gym, my boy Amy Zahabi, my boy Louis Sanos, and Mandel Nala, and I had a group of guys up there. But it's been a while since I've been up there. It's almost been, I want to say, maybe 10 months. But since then, my manager, Ben Robinson, he's been sending me down a lot of guys in the Black Dance Camp. And, you know, the guys he sent down, my boys Kyle, my boy Evan, they've been doing a great job helping me out to prepare for this fight. And, you know, I have a bunch of students, my boy Chris and Alexander Eisen, my boy John Narcy, and my boy Jose Ortiz. I got a bunch of guys up here that are unknown, but they're studs. And they've been helping me get ready for this fight. And, you know, just the camaraderie that we share here in the gym in Indiana with my students and my training partners is something that I've missed for a long time. And now that I'm going back to fight, you know, before I fight, mainly for my dad and for my fans, and then just for respect. And now I'm coming back, and the main reason I'm coming back is for my daughter. You know, she's older now. She's 6 years old. And she sees me in the gym, and she sees all the hard work that I put in. And I want to show her what that's made of and what that can do. And you know, still try to be her hero.
And Miguel, this fight was just recently signed, but was it already in mind that you wanted to come back to fighting around this time of the year?
Oh, yeah, 100%. You know, I've been looking for a fight for a while. It's just, you know, getting an opponent was just getting kind of rough. The guys at 35 that they have, I guess they weren't up to par, or they didn't want to have me fight them. So for me, you know, I was either going to fight or I was going to go try to go somewhere else. Or a series, you know, they stepped through and got me an opponent. And, you know, the fight at 45, mainly because it's a short notice fight, and I didn't want to kill myself for a weight cut. But I could have made 35 if I wanted to. I didn't really think it was that necessary for a 3 week notice. But you know, I feel good. I'm 100%. I have no injuries. My mind's clear, and I'm looking to come back and show what I'm made of.
And what can you tell us about your opponent, Pablo Afonso, who has fought here in South Florida a couple of times, in several regional promotions. I believe his last victory was a knockout. But what can you tell me about this guy, and what can we expect from you against him?
Well, the biggest thing for him, you know, he's Cuban. He's coming into this with a percentage of background. He has dangerous knockout power. He doesn't have as many fights as I have, but I fought guys in my past like that, and they've given me a lot of trouble. So for me, I'm not underestimating him at all. I know he's going to be a hometown guy, and he's going to have a huge crowd in his favor. And I know they're going to be against me, so I'm going to be in his hometown. And, you know, from what I've seen of him, he's great on the ground, and he likes to scramble and move around. So I think it's a great matchup for me. I think it's a good chance for me to go out there and come back and showcase my skills. You know, and like I said, I'm not taking him lightly at all. I'm looking to go out there and take him apart.
And now, since you've been fighting, like you said, since in your teens, and you've been watching MMA evolve over the years, how have you seen MMA evolve, and how have you adapted to the different type of combat fighting that have been evolved little by little in the sport? We have seen crazy stuff in recent years compared to the time that you started.
Well, the biggest thing, you know, when I first started fighting, I was very young, and winning a fight from an easy fight or winning a war, the biggest thing that's come through the past 15 years is just the recovery time. When I was in my early teens and 20s, I'd take a lot of damage and come back the next day and be in the gym and train, and it wasn't a big problem. But now, you know, as you get older, that slows down, you know, it takes a little bit longer to heal. And so for me, you know, my style changed when I went to Montreal because I tried to become a smarter fighter, and you know, I was under different tutelage to have more longevity in the sport. The way I was going, I was going to last maybe 2 or 3 more years like that at that pace. And, you know, I have a future outside of fighting, and I have a future that you know, I want to give to my kids. And I can't do that, you know, being punched drunk or having broken hands and broken bones. So for me, I was trying to learn a different style. But it didn't really fit me very well because I felt like I was going against my natural instincts. So what I've been able to do is adapt what I learned in Montreal and combine it with my style and been able to mesh it together. And, you know, I think with the training that I've been doing the past 2 months, I think I've been able to do that very well, mainly because I've been able to stay in my gym and try to put that together with my own little tricks.
Well, Miguel, I want to thank you, man, for taking some time and speaking to us. And everyone tune in, NBC Sports, World Series of Fighting 6, or just go live if you live in South Florida in Coral Gables at the Bank United Center to see Miguel Angel Torres versus Pablo Afonso live and a whole long list of a stacked card that night, including the first welterweight inaugural
belt on
the line.
Yeah, there's a stacked card that night. There's going to be a ton of great fights.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of guys that some people haven't heard of, but I know a lot of the guys. And, you know, there's going to be a ton of great fights. I can promise my fight's going to be great. I'm fighting a hometown guy, and I know he's going to come and he's going to try to show out. This is a special fight for him, so he's not going to take it lightly. and this is a comeback fight for me, so it's going to be a show you're going to want to watch. You know, I know tickets are available, so if you want to get tickets, go to World Series of Fighting, and go to the website and book your tickets, and, you know, after that fight, we'll see where we hang out.
Awesome, Miguel. Well, thank you so very much, man, and we'll see you down here in South Florida. Surely enough, Miguel Angel Torres, getting back to the cage, took care of some issues there with his family, his business, but his mind is all set, straight, ready for action against Pablo Alfonso. Let me tell you, the Pablo Alfonso, I have seen fight personally a couple of times. The guy comes out of MMA Masters down here in Miami. And for those folks that listen to us, outside of Miami, outside of Florida, this guy is no one to be underestimated. He recently, he fought a while ago, but I remember a fight that he had against Patrick Williams, a guy who was in the same wrestling team of Cain Velasquez. And Patrick Williams is a real strong guy. And Pablo Alfonso just literally demolished this guy. He didn't wrestle. He didn't allow him, which Williams wrestling is sick. Williams didn't even attempt to. I don't even think he had a chance to attempt a wrestling move. Pablo Alfonso's hands were just so quick. And all due respect to Miguel, but and he even said it himself, I've had some problems with some guys that they're not as far as like big time known. Pablo Alfonso, he's 8-5, and he last defeated Shah Bavanis by submission. And back to that Patrick Williams fight, and last fought for CFA, Pablo Alfonso. He knocked him out in 1:22 in the first round. And I am telling you guys, Williams is a serious dude. But Pablo Alfonso just made him look like a rookie. He really did. Pablo Alfonso destroyed him. So let's see what happens this Saturday with Miguel Torres and Pablo Alfonso. Last week we had John Fitch. He's fighting Marcelo Alfaya. Alfaya is another guy. He knocked out Valdir Araujo in the first round. And Araujo is a respectable fighter. This guy even fought Chris Weidman. They went to decision. Valdir lost, of course, but nonetheless, he's another strong guy. And Alfaya packed some heat in those hands. So John Fitch needs to bring it. You're in the interview. He's ready to go. But Alfaya is a serious guy. And I am telling you this, guys, because I have personally, with my very own eyes, have watched both Alfaya and Alfonso live. Another local guy on the card is Alexis Vila, good friend of ours. And he will be in action. That's good for him that he'll be fighting at the World Series of Fighting. He is a Bellator veteran and also a CFA veteran. Also want to review quickly XFC 26. What a great fight card. Skaal Holtzman. A hot sauce. You know, this guy is just impressive, man. Really impressive dude. And he defended his belt victoriously. And he is just going to keep going. The guy is just sick. On a personal level, would have loved to see him and Nick Newell go at it, right? But don't know if that'll happen in the XFC. I don't think it will. Now that Nick is with the World Series of Fighting. But it just proves to you that this guy is serious. And who knows? He might have defeated Nick Newell. And the guy's undefeated. All right, guys. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back with more on The Roman Show. Again, we are giving away free tickets. Free tickets. You don't have to pay a dime to go to the World Series of Fighting because The Roman Show got it taken care of it for you. on the house, man. No worries. We got you. Subscribe to @RomanDH. Coming up next, Steve Carl fighting John Fitch. John Fitch has had all of the media behind him. Is that a plus or is that a negative for Carl?
Hey, this is Nelly from The Roman Show. Are you tired of listening to Roman and the other guys? Well, listen to me as I keep you up to date on the latest happenings in the world of entertainment. Check me out every Tuesday. Did you miss last week's show? Stream the show on your smartphone device from anywhere on the planet. The Roman Show is now on Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, and iTunes. Download the different apps and stay informed with The Roman Show. Hey, you. Yeah, you. I want you to keep listening to The Roman Show. And you don't want to disappoint me, do you?
All right, we are packed up participant fighting on the World Series of Fighting number 6 this Saturday at the Bank United Center. We're giving away free tickets to the big show. All you have to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's @RRoman0201 and follow us on Twitter @RomanDH. But right now, it's time to talk about the fights, and right now we have on the line a main eventer. That is Steve Carl, who is fighting Josh Bergman for the inaugural welterweight title. Steve, thanks for joining us. How are you, man?
I'm doing good, man. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Steve. Now, Steve, let's talk about Josh Bergman. The guy's on a roll. You yourself have been in a roll. But what can you tell me about this guy coming into this fight, who he just recently came out from defeating John Fitch in a spectacular fashion?
Josh Bergman is a great guy inside and outside the cage. I've had the pleasure of sharing locker rooms with him. He's a real humble, down-to-earth person. And as everybody can see, he's one of the top fighters in the world. And I can't think of a better fighter to get in there for a main event, for the first world title for World Series of Fighting. And I get to show everybody my skills versus Josh Bergman. It's going to be amazing. Everybody needs to tune in this weekend.
And Steve, looking at your record, your past 6 victories have all come from submissions. I mean, how great is that? And ironically, Josh's last victory came out of submission. Now, is this going to be the plan against Josh, or is it that type of thing that, you know what, this is my opportunity, I'm going into the submission?
It's not a plan at all. I get in there, and I go in there to fight. I don't go in there with the mindset, ooh, I got to take this guy down and submit him. I apply pressure, and I apply pressure, and everybody just gives up the submission. They crack after a little while. And that's my game plan going into this fight. When the bell rings, I'm going to get into a fight, period. And whatever presents itself is what I'm going to take.
So it's not that you feel comfortable on the ground compared to being on the top.
I absolutely do feel comfortable on the ground, but it's not what I'm looking for. I'm in there to fight. It's just, when I see something, I lock it up, and they're not going to get away.
Now, why have you trained specifically for Josh Bergman for this Saturday's fight?
Excuse me?
What have you trained specifically for Bergman coming into this fight?
I haven't changed anything. I never do. I don't train for opponents. I think it's not really the smartest way to go about a fight. A lot of people, study their opponents and prepare for this guy. They worry about all the things that their opponent can do. Instead, you need to just worry about yourself. Make yourself a better fighter and go in there and put your best foot forward and attack him. Don't worry about what he's going to do. Just go in there and do your thing. Make him worry about you.
Steve, you had your run in Bellator and a few no longer working for the promotion. You experienced fighting in other promotions, even across overseas. What are some of the experiences that you gained fighting in other promotions?
The biggest experiences I gained that really helped me were mental. A couple losses I had were raw mental. I let the build-up get to me. I watched the commercials. I watched all the build-up to the fight, and I let the pressure get to me. I let it really consume me. And this fight with Josh, everybody keeps asking, there's got to be so much pressure. This is a huge fight, this and that. And you know what? At the end of the day, it's me and Josh Berkman inside of a cage. It doesn't matter if we're the main event or we're the first fight of the night or it's for a world title or it's for nothing. It's still just me and Josh Berkman inside the cage. Everything else is just outside, factors that don't matter. And you can't let those come into play. And the biggest thing I learned was just relax, go in there, and do what you do. And that's fight.
See, do you think that the media has been a little biased against you, that they're shining more of the light on Josh instead of you? I mean, they're even talking about having Josh versus John Fitch if John Fitch were to win, so it kind of takes away from you as far as saying, hey, what about me? What about if I win? What happens next?
I don't really care, honestly. At the end of the day, I have the fight. Anybody can say whatever they want, but at the end of the day, I'm still going to be in that cage with Josh Berkman, and he still has to beat me. I think Josh has earned that spotlight, and he can have it. He can do whatever he wants with it, and honestly, that's more pressure for him, not more pressure for me. I'm just ready for the fight. I don't really care what anybody says or whatever happens. I just want to get in there and put on a good show.
Winning a title from the World Series of Fighting, the inaugural welterweight title, what would it mean to you compared to winning another title from another promotion?
It would mean a lot to me because it's the first title. And, that's history-making. And I just, like I just said my previous comment, it's not something I'm really too concerned with right now. The only thing that's on my mind is Josh Berkman. But I will definitely be very proud and very happy to be the champion. And I will look for a long reign after I get that title.
Well, Steve, I want to thank you for taking some time and speaking to us here this evening on the Roman Show. Anything else you'd like to add leading up to this fight on Saturday night on NBC Sports?
Just make sure you guys tune in because this is going to be one hell of a fight. Josh is going to come in there calm and ready. I'm going to come in there calm and ready. And we're going to get in there and we're going to scrap. And it's going to be a good old-fashioned fight that everybody's going to want to see.
Awesome. Well, Steve, thanks so very much. We look forward to seeing you, meeting you in person at the Best United Center. For those who will not be around in South Florida, you can watch it live on NBC Sports. And you can win your way in by following us on Twitter at RomanDH. Thanks so very much, Steve, and good luck.
Thank you.
Watching the Roman Show.
And indeed, you are listening to the Roman Show, Dana and Liddell, as we continue on speaking some more mixed martial arts. By the way, guys, next Tuesday, we will be back on the air. Sorry, I apologize. November... Getting my dates all messed up, right? The first week of November, the Tuesday, we will be back with our entertainment show, which will be the 5th, November 5th. And we have a very talented young lady, very beautiful, and a former cheerleader. And her band, Bruno's, is actually their hit single, Octane, is now on Sirius XM. And she will be here to speak to us about her experience with the band, how she got around being a rock star after being a Miami Dolphins cheerleader, and how she landed her first single on Octane. I mean, how cool is that? Shoot, we want to be on Octane, or we want to be on Sirius XM. Sirius XM, holler at us. All right, moving forward, we're giving away free tickets. We've been plugging this thing all night long because we want you guys to go out there and enjoy the show. courtesy of the Roman Show and the World Series of Fighting. Again, tweet us. Heck, you want to call in? 714-868-0222. You want tickets? Tickets, call in. We got you covered. You can hang out with everyone at the Bank United Center, big MMA fans, and so much more. And you can check out some really cool fights out there, which will be airing live on NBC Sports. Well, what a phenomenal fight that was between Gilbert Melendez and Diego Sanchez. If you witnessed that thing live, which I'm sure most of you did, I have to admit, it was one of the best fights I've personally seen on live television, on pay-per-view. The other one that comes close to that I was there personally was Eddie Alvarez and Michael Chandler. But boy, was this fight just non-stop. It was, in one word, hardcore. These guys just went balls to the wall. It didn't matter who came out swinging the hardest. The whole point is both of these guys wanted to win, and you can see that throughout the 15 minutes this Saturday, Gilbert Melendez and Diego Sanchez. And although Melendez came out on top and he is definitely getting close to another title shot, and I've always been a big fan of Melendez. I think his cardio is exceptional. His wrestling is great. But you got to give credit to Diego Sanchez. He's also a winner because of his display. The guy wanted this thing bad, and you can tell. It didn't matter if it threw a bomb. It didn't matter if it threw him a kick. The guy just kept going back and back. And it didn't really matter whether it broke his face or he had his eyelid broken, blood spilling all over his body. The guy just kept going. Anything that Melendez came out with, he retaliated. And that is what the MMA is all about. And then at the end of the day, they shake hands. They're still buddies. So absolutely a great performance by both fighters. And Melendez, as I said, he's getting closer to another title shot, possibly against Anthony Pettis, who now has another opponent, but maybe, never know. One more win for Melendez, and we might see those two. Why not put Melendez versus maybe a Benson Henderson, right? I mean, Benson Henderson did lose the title to Pettis. Melendez lost to Henderson in a pretty close fight. I want to have both those guys fight. The winner take on Pettis. Although Aldo says he wants a piece of Pettis at the lightweight division. But that still needs to be determined. All right, guys, we will be right back with more of the Roman Show. Again, free tickets. You can call in 714-868-0222. We will give those free tickets right here, right now.
When I train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue. Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport with the pose wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of the Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH. Or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up the Roman Show to win free prizes. Hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
This is your boy, Sugar Shot Evans, and you're listening to The Roman Show.
Guys, 714-868-0222 is the number. We're giving away free tickets. World Series of Fighting taking place this Saturday. Want to speak briefly before we bring in Josh Berkman on The Roman Show to talk about the first ever inaugural welterweight title on the line against Steve Carr, which you just heard from just a few minutes ago. Want to mention about Ashley Evans-Smith, CFA featherweight women's champion. She spoke about the whole Fallon Fox issue, and as she said in an article on MMA Junkie, that it was a love and hate relationship with her and Fallon. You know, one thing that I would love to do, and it possibly it could happen, I'd love to hear from Fallon Fox. What is it on her mind? What does she say? What is she going to do? Joining me now on the other end, Guillermo Garcia, the MMA Encyclopedia. What's up, Guillermo?
Not much, Roman. Not much, man. Like, just glad to be on the show.
Yeah, you know, I was just saying, Fallon Fox, after she lost, the girl left the building, nowhere to be found. What the heck is she doing? I mean, how did she take this loss? You know, she had all this publicity, she had all this press, and she gets beat by Ashley Evans-Smith. She did put up a post saying that, oh, I'm sorry for my performance, but I would love to hear what her thoughts were on this loss.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, you know, this is the first ever loss of Fallon's career, whether it be amateur or what have you, and, you know, it's possible that she just took it really, really hard. I mean, and it was on such a, you know, big scene, like, you know, the whole nation was pretty much watching. So, you know, it's hard for me or you or anybody else to judge what Fallon is thinking because we ourselves have never been in that position. And you can't really say that any fighter has ever been in that position because Fallon's situation is so different from everybody else's, like as far as the amount of attention that she got for the reasons that she got the attention for. So, yeah, I mean, we don't know what she's going through, so it's hard to say whether she's justified or not in reacting this way.
Yeah, I know that. I'd really love to hear it, though, because she just stormed out of that building. It's like no one knew anything about her. Very odd. All right, Stephanie Skinner coming up on the show later. And as I mentioned, Josh Berkman, 714-868-0222 is the number. You get free tickets to the World Series of Fighting. Now, Josh Berkman is getting a lot of hype behind this fight. We asked Steve Carr what his thoughts were, but they're already talking about the trilogy between Berkman and Finch, and the fight hasn't even taken place, Guillermo.
Yeah, no, I mean, I can understand why it's being done because, you know, they're the two biggest names basically in that division for a World Series of Fighting. And they feel that that's where the money would be at. So it makes sense from World Series of Fighting side to promote that. Plus, you know, Fitch, of course, is going to be trying to promote that fight because he just wants his revenge and he wants to remain relevant because Fitch is very close. He's like one more loss away from being completely irrelevant as far as the rest of his career goes. So it's a big deal for them, but we got to see because Steve Carl is a great fighter, and you know he could definitely derail this whole thing.
Yeah, and Alfaya, you know, I was talking about it earlier that Alfaya is a real good fighter, so don't underestimate him.
Yeah, no, Alfaya, you know, Alfaya, see, the thing that I worry about with Alfaya is that he's the type of fighter that could fall right into Fitch's game where Fitch just presses him up against the fence, takes him down, and just pounds on him for three rounds in a row. So Alfaya, yeah, if Fitch gets sloppy the way he did against Berkman in the first 30 seconds of their fight, he can get caught with something.
That's a run.
But, yeah, but, I mean, apart from that, I believe that Fitch would have the advantage as far as the, you know, the wrestling and the ground game goes. So unless Alfaya can catch him in the first 30 seconds of each round, I just see Fitch controlling that fight. But, you know, Fitch is not the fighter he used to be, so who knows? Who knows what's going to happen?
And I know he's been having some issues with finances, and he had to move from California to the East Coast. So all those things mentally could also affect him.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, Fitch has been training for years at AKA with some of the best guys in the world, and now he's in New York, and he's kind of like not even really got a training camp. He's just got a gym that he runs, and there's some customers that come and train there. So we don't know how good the quality of his training is. And he's got a lot of distractions, and he's got a kid and a wife and, you know, a new place that he lives in where he doesn't know anybody. And he's got this job that he's got to worry about, so he's not fully concentrated on his career like he used to be. And so it just doesn't look good for Fitch. I mean, I believe he's good enough to beat Alfaya, but if he continues in this direction, I don't see him evolving. Like, I think he'll just start to just stall out and just keep the skill set that he has. But then the thing is, as he gets older, You know, he's going to slow down. He's not going to be as fast. He's not going to be able to react as quickly. He won't be able to take a punch the way he used to. And so it just, it's not good. It's not good. It doesn't look good for Fitch. He's one of my favorite fighters, but, I mean, I got to call it how it is, you know?
We'll see this Saturday. Now, Cain Velasquez turning out to that whole UFC 166 pay-per-view, which was phenomenal. They're calling it one of the best fight cards ever on pay-per-view. I don't know if you would agree with that, Guillermo, but I have to say that the whole thing was exciting from top to bottom.
Well, I mean, the Daniel Cormier-Roy Nelson fight wasn't that exciting.
Cormier really just dominated
that. Yeah, that one wasn't too good, but... Yeah, I mean, the Gilbert Melendez-Diego Sanchez fight is one of the greatest fights of all time. The Cain Velasquez fight, I mean, he just dominated that. So it wasn't really like back and forth or anything like that. But it wasn't boring because Cain just destroyed Junior. It wasn't like Cain was just holding him against the fence for five rounds. I mean, he was destroying him for five rounds. So it wasn't boring, but I wouldn't say it was exciting because you kind of knew what was going to happen. You know, you knew Cain was going to win that fight the way that it was going. You know, so,
well, we just,
I mean, like, yeah, so I would say it's, like, definitely a very good card. I mean, to say the best one ever, I mean, there's been so many cards that it's hard to say that. You know, there's definitely one out there that's got to be better than that one, you know?
It is. Well, one thing is for certain that we won't see Cain in action for some time because Texas has filed a, as far as doctors have submitted, that he is medically suspended for a suspected broken jaw. That means that he'll be out of action for about 6 months for, again, a quote-unquote possible broken jaw. However, Velasquez's camp is saying that it's absurd, and the thing is totally fine, and according here to Heidi Siebert, a spokesperson for Zinkin Entertainment, she says the thing is totally fine, and it was totally fine. He hasn't seen a doctor or anything. So it seems like you won't see Cain in action for a while because of this 6 month medical suspension. But, you know, things could be overruled with the medical clearance.
Yeah, no, yeah, with those medical suspensions, they hold up until a doctor clears you. So if a doctor clears you in 2 weeks, then that 6 months doesn't matter as long as you're cleared by a doctor.
Exactly. And he even tweeted out a picture of himself, I think it was 2 days after, and Cain looked fine. He really did look fine.
Yeah, and the only ones you got to pay attention to with those medical suspensions is, you know, they say that you got to be without contact for so many days due to, you know, having suffered a knockout before that. You do have to follow because there's no way really to clear that. If you just got knocked out, you got to give your brain time to recover. There's no way to really check to see if your brain's all right or not, you know.
And now word is coming in that Cormier wants Gustafsson. So it seems that what Cormier wants is that he would like to fight Gustafsson with Jones and Teixeira on the same pay-per-view fight card. And obviously if Cormier wins or Gustafsson, the winner of that, will then fight the winner of Jones and Teixeira. Now, you and me were having a conversation on that, and it's a good, but it's a bad thing at the same time because you're getting rid of two top contenders at the same time with Cormier and Gustafsson.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, the advantage, well, the good thing is if you put Gustafsson against Cormier, you have a clear number one contender for sure. You know, so you could say that for sure this is the guy that deserves the shot at the title. Now, the problem with that is, like, the guy that loses that fight, who could have been a great, like, contender in his own right later on, now that's no longer an option, at least until he can win one or two more fights. So that's the problem with pairing up two top contenders. The good thing about having two top contenders and not having them fight each other is that if you got one guy that you decide to give the shot and he gets injured, at least you can go to the other guy. Yeah, you can just go to the other guy. And then once that fight happens, the guy that got injured, then you could put him in afterward. You know what I mean? But when you pair up two guys against each other and then you determine one contender, what happens if that guy gets injured? Well, now you can't give it to the guy that he beat because that guy just came off a loss. So then you got to give it to some guy who doesn't even deserve it. You know what I mean? So that's a real issue, you know, when When you get the number two and three guy fighting each other to fight the number one guy, and number two wins, well, you can't give the shot to number three now because he just lost. So now you got to give the shot to number four, and number four is not as deserving, obviously, as number two and three. So that's the problem that you get. And sometimes number four is busy or number four is injured. Now you're giving the shot to number five, number six, number seven, and then you eventually end up with Chael Sonnen getting a title shot.
And he wants one again.
Yeah, Chael gets all the title shots that he doesn't deserve.
But he gets it somehow, some way, right?
Yeah, exactly, because he takes advantage of situations like this, you know, like what I just described, where Dan Henderson's the number one contender and he injures his knee a week before the fight, you know, or something to that effect. You know,
but I got
to
tell you,
like, it always ends up like that with Chael.
But, you know, I know he's fighting Rashad Evans later, I believe in December. But you got to admit that this whole Wanderlei Silva, the announcement of him and Silva going at it in The Ultimate Fighter and fighting in Brazil, I don't know about you, but I'm really looking forward to that one because Wanderlei Silva and Chael Sonnen really hate each other. I'm not sure if you caught that video where Wanderlei Silva went up to Chael Sonnen at the Mr. Olympia and he followed him with a camera and he's like, come on, let's do it right here. Yeah. If you haven't seen that video, please do. It is hilarious. You'll crack up. But at the same time, it shows how much hatred these two have against each other.
Yeah, no, I believe you. And I'm looking forward to that. I mean, the fight taking place in Brazil, I fear for Chael's safety in Brazil. We'll see what happens. Like, Chael was supposed to fight Anderson the second time in Brazil, and they ended up moving it to the United States because not only couldn't they secure the stadium, but it just wasn't a real safe situation for Chael either because Brazilians just hate him. He's just been tearing down Brazilians for years. You know,
yeah,
so,
I'm looking forward to the first time.
This is the first time that I remember that a fighter has been scheduled for a fight while they still have a fight coming up. Like, that's the first time I ever remember that ever happening. Usually they don't announce a fighter's next fight until he's finished the one that he's got coming up. But,
I found that
kind of strange.
He is Mr. What did he call himself? Mr. Pay-Per-View?
Yeah. So he's got this fight with Rashad coming up in like a month or two. And then all of a sudden, they already announced that he's fighting again like later on. But he's still got the fight with Rashad. You know, win or lose, he's fighting Wanderlei. You know, period. I've never heard of that before. You know, like when they schedule a guy for a fight while he's still got a fight coming up. That's the first time I've ever heard of that.
And Chael calls himself World Pay-Per-View Champion, in quotation marks, biggest draw in history. That's what he has on his Twitter account.
That's
how much
exaggerated. We all know in the UFC the biggest draw in history was Brock Lesnar. second to Brock Lesnar was GSP. So, that's facts.
Let's move forward now. XFC 27. We're going to jump the gun before we bring in Josh Berkman. December 13th, XFC 27. Stephanie Skinner makes her debut in the XFC and she fights Angela Hill. Steph, welcome to the Roman Show. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
Can't complain. No worries. Steph, so want to catch up with you here because you were scheduled to fight for the XFC earlier this year. You haven't fought in 1 year, actually, a year and some weeks. But what happened, that situation that you couldn't make your debut back, I believe it was in April?
Back in April I was scheduled to fight in Helica Chavez, and she got injured 2 weeks out from the fight, and they ended up just scrapping the fight and putting it on the September card for the XFC, and then September rolled around, and the day before weigh-in, and Helica tested positive for mono and was deemed unable to compete. So, again, we had to scratch the card, and now they have me rescheduled for December 13th in Michigan.
Now, is that frustrating in a way?
The second time was a lot more frustrating because I had already began my weight cut, and we were on our way down to Albuquerque for the weigh-ins when I got the phone call. So I think just because of everything that we had already done and accomplished and we're on our way, it was a little more irritating the second time around. But, you know, people get sick and it's part of the sport. just makes you mentally tougher and lets you know you just made it through another training camp. You just made it through another 8 weeks of hell. It just makes you more prepared for the next time around.
Now, Steph, you haven't fought in a year. Do you think that when you get inside the cage, you'll feel some ring rust? Do you fear for that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I've done the taking time off. I took 2 years off to train, and that was just a little different with that ring rust because I, you know, started training with a new team and learning a lot of new things. But, you know, I'm in the gym on a regular basis. I'm sparring hard on a regular basis. It's nothing that I'm worried about come time for ring rust. You know, I think that's just a mental mindset.
And coming in to this fight with, you know, you've been away for about a year. In a prior interview, you said that you started training back in 09 MMA and you made your pro debut in 2010. And you said that you started pro MMA too soon. Do you think this layoff helped? Well, because you had two layoffs, because in 2010, after those three fights you had, you took a break there and then you took another break. Have these layoffs helped you out as a better fighter, because that first layoff, you won two fights out of the three?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that first layoff, the 2 years I took, that was time that I needed to take off to realize what I had gotten myself into. I was coached by very incompetent people now that I look back and realize the talent level of which I was coached when I first went pro. Now I'm trained under Benjamin Schistler and Diana Rael, which in the Denver, Colorado area, they're big names. And in the women's MMA world, Diana Rael is known. I mean, she's a ranked atomweight. So I think the time off that I've had now, I've just developed and evolved more as a fighter, and I've just become more dangerous and sharpening my skills.
All right, Guillermo?
Yeah, Stephanie, you know, there's been a lot of, you know, in the last year especially, there's been a lot of growth in women's MMA. Do you follow that a lot, or do you really just concentrate on yourself and what you're doing in the gym?
Oh, no, man. I follow the growth of MMA. I love to see the sport that I'm doing evolve in the way it has just in, you know, the 5 years that I've been in it.
And do you pay extra attention to the people within your weight class, or do you watch all of women's MMA, like just the Ultimate Fighter that's on TV? You know, there's been a lot of news lately, especially with Fallon Fox losing to Ashley Evans-Smith. How closely do you follow all of women's MMA, and how closely do you follow your own weight division?
You know, I don't say that I follow my weight division that closely. I mean, I know the top guns. I know the names. I look at my 105 class, I look at the 115ers as a class that, you know, if the UFC ever opens up a 115-pound division prior to them opening up a 105, you know, it's a possibility that there'll be a lot of 105ers jumping to 115. You know, I think the only weight class I don't really follow is probably the 125ers. I mean, I know some of the names, but not a lot, but I'll watch women's boxing, women's wrestling, I'll watch women's MMA. I kind of like to follow it all, you know.
And Stephanie, you know, since it's just a growing sport, you know, for women's MMA, how hard is it for you to find a fight? Do you have a lot of trouble finding fights? Do you have a lot of fights that get canceled? Because, you know, you've had this long layoff and you had a couple of, you know, situations where the fighter you're supposed to fight got injured, then you got sick. But were you having trouble finding fights in between those times, you know, to try to fill those gaps?
No, not really. We had offers, you know, and then we had the XFC offer on the table, and we had a fight prior to that schedule that we went ahead and canceled just so I could focus on the XFC fight so that I could be ready and prepared for that one and not risk damaging another one. Even once signing my XFC contract, I still have promoters that ask me if I'm fighting, if I'm available to fight. So I wouldn't say that I have a hard time finding fights. Sometimes you just got to pick and choose your battles and what's best for you at the time.
And, you know, being a fighter, you know, I mean, on the regional scene like you are, I mean, I'm sure you have, you know, nicks and bruises and injuries that come up. But, I mean, health-wise, like health insurance, what, do you have health insurance? Does it, you pay that all out of your own pocket? Do you just try to stay healthy and not have to pay anything? How does that work?
For me, I have health insurance. My dad has a good plan that I can be on until I'm 26, so I pay him monthly for me to be on his health insurance. So I'm
good. Oh, you're very fortunate. Yeah, you're very fortunate. A lot of fighters aren't in that situation. Yeah.
I know. It's a tough world to be in. I mean, even for fighters, like, the insurance, it's so expensive, whether you're paying for it on your own and then trying to be a full-time fighter and paying your bills and insurance being one of them. I mean, sometimes it's just a hard world to be in.
And as you had a downfall with the whole 2-4 record and all that stuff. Have you ever found yourself say, you know, maybe this is not for me? And how have you managed to bounce back from that thing in your mind trying to push you away from what you love?
You know, when I started off my pro career 0-3 right out the gate, and that was very disheartening. I went pro too soon, and I should have never went pro, but I did, and can't take it back now, but it was a learning lesson. You know, when I first started training with my new team, I just thought, why am I still doing this? My family asked, why are you still doing this? But my coaches were my support system for it. You know, they see the talent that I have, the natural abilities that come with being an athlete like I am, and they were just like, just, you know, give us some time. Let us show you what we can show you. Let us make you into the fighter that you're meant to be. And I think, you know, just having them have my back the whole time and believing in me every step of the way is what kept me going and is what keeps me going. You know, I commented on a picture John Prisco put up of the flyweight belt that Pearl Gonzalez and Courtney Casey fought for. And I told him, you know, when you put the 105 belt on the line, I'm going to be his champion. You know, I have that much confidence in myself because of what my coaches have instilled in me, that I know that I'm where I need to be now. Now it's just time to make the record right.
That's right. Well, Stephanie, I want to thank you very much for taking some time and speaking to us as she fights at XFC 27 in Michigan. It's the first time XFC visits Michigan. December 13th, that's going to be airing live on Access TV, and Steph will be part of the main card. One last question. Obviously, Angela Hill, what can you tell us about her? She is making her pro debut. How do you try to find some information on her since she hasn't been in the pro circuit?
You know, they still have amateur records, and they have her Muay Thai record, and she's undefeated right now. I mean, she made her pro Muay Thai debut online fights just not too long ago and won, and she was 14-0 as an amateur Muay Thai boxer, but, you know, this is the world of MMA, and, you know, although Muay Thai is great to have in it, unless you have that ground game, you know, it's just something new for her, and as much as she's going to tell herself, I'll be fine, I'll be okay, you know, it's a little different when you're laying on your back and someone finally hits you. I mean, it's kind of the wake-up call right there, so, you know, I'm not kidding her by any means. She's undefeated, you know, 15-0, basically, and I'm ready for a battle, and it'll be an exciting fight when we keep it on the feet.
Awesome. Well, Steph, looking forward to your fight December 13th on Access TV. Anything else you'd like to add?
Just a quick shout-out to my sponsors, if I could.
Sure, go ahead.
I'd just like to thank Studio Box, Mass Destruction, MMA, UFC Gym, Westminster, where I train, Inksmith Tattoo, Stacey Nicholas, Destiny Gonzalez, and I'd like to thank all my coaches and training partners that help me on a regular basis.
Awesome. So, well, thank you very much, and look to speak to you soon here about your victory. So good luck on December 13th.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Have a good night.
You too. Good night. All right, folks, XFC, they're leading off with that show in December at the end of the last month of the year. So looking forward to that. All right, Guillermo, John Fitch, we spoke about him, but Josh Berkman, he is fighting Steve Carr for the inaugural welterweight title. What does Josh have in mind as far as what he thinks about his opponent and all of the limelight that he has received? That is the question that many want to know.
Train, I buy the best fight gear from All Out Fight Shop. They have the best deals and the most fitting clothing and attire. It's a guaranteed knockout. Like them on Facebook at All Out Fight Shop or follow them on Twitter at All Out Fight Shop. Visit them in person at 4805 Northwest 79th Avenue, Unit 9 in Doral, Florida. Sport what the pros wear. All Out Fight Shop. Keep up with the world of The Roman Show by following us on Twitter at RomanDH or like our fan page on Facebook. Look up The Roman Show to win free prizes.
hun, turn it down. I'm watching Grey's Anatomy.
Heck no.
Why not?
Because I'm listening to The Roman Show.
This Saturday at the Bank United Center, it's going to be an epic night. We're giving away three tickets to that event for World Series of Fighting number 6 airing live on NBC Sports. All you have to do is follow us on Twitter at RomanDH. And on the line, we have one of the main eventers who will be fighting for the inaugural welterweight title, and that is none other than Josh Berkman, who joins us here again on The Roman Show. Josh, thanks so much for joining us again here, man.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
You know, it's always, I always enjoy having you here on the show because I think we have something in common, and that's yoga. Every time that we talk about yoga, I know your wife is a big yoga expert, and you mentioned to us how important it is in your life now, and it actually saved you in your career with injuries and all of that stuff with the yoga.
Yeah, yoga, you know, I think it's just something that I use to, you know, in my training to help me focus. You know, and then also just to keep me flexible. You know, I think that flexibility keeps us in line and keeps me, you know, healthy, you know, more flexible, less injuries. So, you know, I'd use it for, I'm a big fan, and I think more and more martial artists are starting to pick it up. At least that's what I'm noticing. When I started doing it, I don't know that there were many, many guys in the room at all.
Yeah, I think it's just that macho mentality that yoga is not merely exercise, but it's funny because sometimes I talk to these yoga instructors and they're like, go ahead, bring in those big guys here. Let's see if they can hack it. And it's true, sometimes they put it in the right position. And then you're crying after about a minute and a half. But Josh, talk about your fight, Steve Carl, inaugural welterweight title. What's your expectations here against Steve Carl, a guy who is coming in on a roll just like yourself?
You know, I have a lot of respect for Steve Carl. I've said it, you know, a couple times. He's earned his spot in this fight for this belt, you know. But I expect to go in there and have a really good performance. You know, my training went good. I have a lot of confidence coming off the last few fights. And, you know, I really expect to go out there. And I don't expect a war. I'm not expecting, you know, to go out there and fight for 25 minutes, you know. If I'm prepared for it, but I'm not expecting it, you know. I'm expecting to go out there, figure out what Steve Carl's trying to do, and finish the fight.
Gosh, this guy, Steve Carl, he's a submission artist. The guy has 50 submission victories. How are you prepared to counter some of the submissions that he might have poached on you?
You know, I just go to my coaches. You know, I have awesome teammates that have really good jiu-jitsu. You know, and then also I have a coach named Jason Mertlich, and I have another coach named Rob Hanley. And they're both black belts, one under Pedro Sauer, the other under Walt Bayless. And, you know, I just go to them and ask them the right questions, and they give me the answers, you know. And then I just drill. And, you know, my game is not really a huge submission game. You know, it's more of a catch wrestling ground and pound style. And I think that my style will offset Steve Carl's style. I just have to make sure that I'm very aware and respect his submission games and all the positions that we're in during this fight.
Now, going into this fight, it seems that the limelight has been on you and a trilogy fight against you and Tom Finch. Think that the media was biased towards Steve Carl, that they're really just talking about you and Finch again, and this fight hasn't even happened yet between you and Carl?
You know, I think that the media, they, you know, want to hype what people are talking about, you know, and want to create stories, you know. And Steve Carl, I think that this is a step up for him, and this is a step up in competition, and it's a big opportunity. And I think that Steve Carl knows that too, you know. And me, I don't mind talking about John Fitch or what's next, because, you know, I have goals and things that I want to accomplish, and talking about those things doesn't take me off track. You know, I know that I have to focus and I have to be ready for Steve Carl. I know he's a very tough opponent, and, you know, that's the key for me. You know, it doesn't really matter what everybody else is talking about. It's just that when I go to training, I have to make sure that I respect Steve, that I'm ready for Steve Carl, because I've been the underdog where people haven't been talking about me in fights, and I went in there and I upset, you know, the person that they were talking about in John Fitch, in Aaron Simpson, you know. So I think for the rest of my career, I will always respect the underdog, whether the media does or not.
And speaking of Fitch, tell me about defeating Fitch and the way that you did it, man. It was really surprising in the MMA world. This just came out of a UFC. You had a whole bunch of hype, and here you come. Welcome to the World Series of Fighting. You submit him.
All right. You know, I think one reason that it was so surprising to everybody is because the way that it happened, you know, that I submitted him in that fashion. You know, and then again, yeah, you know, that's the cool thing about this sport, you know, is anything can happen. So for me, you know, I think the reason that I reacted the way that I reacted is because I never thought that I wasn't going to win that fight with John Fitch. You know, looking back on it and watching it, it was definitely, you know, with Mazzagatti not stepping in and me standing up over Fitch, you know, definitely created one of those moments that I'll remember forever. And, you know, but also, you know, I think that I believed that I was going to beat John Fitch. And, you know, so a week later, I was over that fight, and I was moving on to what's my next fight. Because my goal wasn't just to beat John Fitch. You know, my goal is to be the champion in this organization and represent this organization proudly in the mixed martial arts world, you know. So, again, you know, I think that the trilogy will happen, you know, and I think that John Fitch will prove that he's still got plenty of fight left in him this Saturday.
And speaking of that, will you keep a close eye on his fight, even though you fight away in the main event? But will you even bother saying, hey, did he win?
I mean, I'm going to be in the back with my feet kicked up watching all these fights. I mean, there's some awesome fights, you know, from that Carson Beatty, Marlon Morales fight. That's going to be a great fight. You know, you have Fitch, and then you have Lozon, and who's Lozon fighting again? Gaethje? Is that who it is? No. Who is it?
I don't know, at the top of my head right now, but I'm going to look at that. Like, but
it's early morning, guys. It's early morning.
Yeah.
But there's so many good fights on this card that, you know, I'm just going to be in the back watching them and waiting until my turn's up.
It is, and even with John Fitch's fight, Marcelo Faya, that guy can't be taken. You know, I've had an opportunity to see him live, and the guy has knocked out power himself.
Does he?
See,
yeah, I've never seen him fight. You know, I've just heard about him, and, you know, like I said, I'm just excited to see the fight and how John Fitch comes back. You know, I mean, there's a lot of pressure there for him to win, you know, and I think that I'll be interested to see how he comes back.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I first saw them, and he knocked out his last opponent in less than 30 seconds, I think it was, or something like that. And it was both
really
bigger than what it was. But, yeah, he finished him in really quickly. So he himself has a tough opponent. But back to you, Josh. Do you feel that you almost become the poster child of the World Series of Fighting?
You know, I mean, I wouldn't say that, you know, exactly myself. I think that there's a lot of the organization still new. And there's still a lot going on, but I think that I've definitely made myself a featured fighter in the organization, you know, and becoming the champion, you know, and winning that belt on Saturday would definitely put me at the top of this organization, representing the organization as the only champion so far, you know. And that's something that's been my goal since I came into this organization. You know, when I first had that fight with Gerald Harris, I said, I'm going to beat Gerald Harris. They're going to bring in some top welterweights. I'm going to knock them off, you know, and my goal is to become a featured fighter and a champion in this organization, and we're very close to reaching those goals.
Winning this title, what would it mean to you compared to winning another title that you could have won in another organization that you previously fought for?
You know, I've actually passed up opportunities to fight for titles because I never wanted to be the guy that was just fighting for belts or, you know, there was one title that I wanted, and that was the UFC welterweight champion. That was the only one I ever wanted. You know, I never even worked for, you know, I do gi, and I never even asked to pass my white belt because I like being a student. I like having to work hard, you know. And, but for this is different, you know, because I was with the World Series of Fighting for the first show. I really like the people in charge. And, you know, I think this show is good for the sport, and I think it's good for the fighters and the fans, you know. So, and winning this, you know, I've kind of come back up more on a local level in Utah, but really put back on the national spotlight in the World Series of Fighting. And I, the better that I do, the better the show does, the better the show does, the better I do. And so, you know, I have some loyalty to this organization, and I really believe that winning this title would complete my comeback from the injuries that I had years ago. You know, I had a couple doctors tell me that I should quit fighting. I had one doctor tell me he wanted to give me surgery. He wanted to go through my neck, shave the vertebrae in my C5, T6 discs. So that they wanted to give me a cortisone shot. And I just told them no, and that I wanted to do it a more holistic way. And over the last 5 years, I've been able to come back and get back not just to where I was before, to be better than I ever was before. And there have been a lot of people that have stood by me, you know, friends, fans, media, and really my family, you know. And I just want to, you know, really represent them and prove to everybody that, you know, you can come back from anything. You know, I really think that, you know, prayers, my faith, and the support that I have helped me get back to here. And I just want to show people that anybody can do it, and their chance is next, you know, and really just inspire all those people that have stuck behind me and by me.
Well, that is just an awesome story, Josh, how you've been able to overcome those injuries in a positive and magical way, and that's always important. Josh, I want to thank you so much and wish you good luck this Saturday at NBC Sports.
Romano, you there?
Yeah, Josh, I'm here.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining us, and anything else you'd like to add?
No, you know, just thanks for having me. Again, I think the support by you guys, media interviewers, has been awesome for the World Series of Fighting. Again, I think it's good for the sport. I think it's good for the fighters and the fans to give competition to these other organizations, and for us fighters to have another stage to perform on for everybody. So, you know, I'm just very grateful and humble in the fact that I get this opportunity, you know, and getting ready to go to Miami now. I'm just kind of winding down and getting excited. So, but really this fight is for, you know, my friends, my family, my fans. I want to go out and win this belt for them and be their champion. And that's really what it's about. You know, it's why I think I'm so laid back going into this fight, is because I don't know, you know, I really want to represent all those people around me. And, you know, that's what this fight is about.
Awesome, and that is why they call you the People's Warriors, Josh. Thanks very much, Josh.
When I got that name years ago, I never knew why it would stick, but it sure did now.
and you're still thinking afterwards, maybe a little later, running for office in Utah?
Yeah, tough times call for tough people. Vote Josh Berkman for governor 2024.
There you go, 2024. So you got a little bit of time, but you got a lot of studies. You could study the whole rules and laws before you go in there and take over the governor house.
I've been studying that stuff for 10 years. That's what I was in college for. So, you know, it's something that I was going to go. What's that?
Did you study politics, or what did you study?
Yeah, I criminal justice and political science. There's a whole other side of the People's Warrior that nobody's seen yet that they will see. You know, in 2016, I'll run for county council, and that's when I'll start my push towards the governor's seat.
And any particular party that you lean towards, too?
You know, if you want to win in Utah, you better be Republican, you know. But for me, and this is what I want to explain to people, you know, is when we start to label ourselves, and when we start to, you know, it divides us from each other and from one another, and it's how they keep us separate from each other, you know. And my goal is to just try to help people to understand that. It's why in fighting, you know, I don't say I'm a boxer and I don't say I'm a wrestler. I'm a mixed martial artist, and I take a little bit from each style and I make it my own, and I make it, and it's what works best for me. And I think that, you know, that's politics too, and that's religion too. You know, you don't have to take everything as this is the way that it has to be, because again, that divides us from each other. It keeps us from working together. And so I'll try to, you know, really just that will be my plan, is to tell people, you know, like, let's more come together, you know. And like I say, it's like mixed martial artists. You need a little bit of everything to be great. And I think that's the same with religion and politics.
And I say, you know what, it's funny, though, that, you know what they say, you never bring to the dinner table politics and religion, but it seems like you're bringing it up in a positive way.
You know, I think that's the key. You know, I think people need to be at the center. You know, we need to bring people back together and you try to unite them. And if we have different systems and we continue to label ourselves, it's just going to continue to divide us and create chaos. And sometimes that's what they want, is chaos. You know what I mean? So I think we need to get back to taking care of people, and, you know, everything will go fine. But which is why, you know, I think that it's so important that we take care of our families first. You know, then we take care of our communities, then our states. And if we do that, it's the right order of things to be in balance, you know. So, and we can't look at it as like the government's so big, you know, that it makes us feel so small that we can't do anything. We can do something. We just have to be good people ourselves and good family members, and the rest take care of itself.
Yeah, sure. Josh, thanks so much, man. I look forward to meeting you here in South Florida this weekend. Good luck against Steve Carr and watch him live on NBC Sports this Saturday night.
If every day goes like this, how do we survive? We're working late on the night shift.
All right, folks, there you have it. Josh Berkman, Steve Carl, Miguel Torres, Stephanie Skinner, all on the Roman Show. I think we've covered pretty much every corner that we can when it comes to mixed martial arts. Your final thoughts, Guillermo?
Nah, man, great show. And, you know, great show this past weekend with the UFC, and really looking forward to the World Series of Fighting here in Miami this weekend.
And don't forget that the UFC has a show from England with Munoz and your boy Machida. What, 3 p.m.
Yeah,
Eastern
right.
time? 4 p.m. Eastern time?
Should be roughly around there. I would imagine it will be on Fox Sports 1. Yeah, fortunately, I got to work while that's on, and then I got to go straight from work to the World Series of Fighting show, so I won't be able to actually see that fight right when it happens, but, you know, we'll probably be able to see it from the laptop at the World Series of Fighting, or maybe when I get home later that night.
There you go. We got to kill two birds with one stone. Thanks again, everyone, for tuning in and listening to us, whether it's on iTunes or Stitcher Radio or wherever it is. Thank you very much. Again, we're giving away free tickets. Tweet to us at RomanDH, at The Roman Show, at Stoneface16, like the fan page, Roman Show Media. And subscribe. Sorry, I'm drinking this thing, magnesium. And it's not the most delicious thing you can taste, but they say it's good for you and it relaxes your muscle. I just give a cheap plug to these guys. But yeah, I know. And YouTube channel, rroman0201. Subscribe. We have a ton of interviews, and we will have a ton of interviews this weekend right after the World Series of Fighting. Good night, folks.
What's up? This your boy, Kimo Slice. And if I got one thing to say about these amateur fights, not only did I have a good time tonight, but I want everybody to know you got to keep watching with Dolph Roman. If you keep your eyes up on that, man, you'll be all right. You'll know what's going on. So stay hip to Dolph Roman. This your boy, Kimo Slice, 305, and we out.